Hello, everybody. This is Product Hunt Radio. I'm Ryan. What's up, Eric?
What's up, guys?
We're here with Josh and John from Greylock. And you're wearing the Meerkat t-shirt again.
Josh only wears Meerkat t-shirts now.
I do have an entire wardrobe. No, today it's actually funny that we're recording this today because we just formally announced this morning that we led the Series B in Meerkat. Mm-hmm. I'm going to join the board. You know, and
Greylock did that?
Greylock? Sorry, wait, John, did you miss that meeting, John?
That is the worst kept secret in history.
Yeah, fine. But at least it's official now, so we can talk about it. You know, these financings, people don't understand. Until the financing's actually closed, you're legally not allowed to talk about it. Companies can't formally solicit fundraising, in the public, except to like very accredited investors. There's actually a lot of rules about fundraising, and so even though there may be rumors out there, I think it's actually important to understand that until the documents are done and the money is now in the company's hands and the funding is done, that's why a lot of investors and founders go silent. And it's not because they don't want to tell or don't want to share great news, but deals fall through from the moment that you might sign a term sheet to actually close the round and the money changes hands.
So that happened, that happened with us with Alexi at TechCrunch. And we were actually going through diligence for a while and the deal was not done. It was not signed. It looked like it was going through. But I got a text message from Alexia on a Saturday or Sunday, I think, afternoon. And she's like, hey, do you want to comment on this Andreessen Horowitz Series A? And she stated some numbers and I was like, oh, shit. And then I was just like kind of freaked out and I went silent and I'm like, okay, what do I do? Do I comment? Do I let her know? Like,
we had a whole conversation about it.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, yeah. And ended up just saying no comment, which was fine. But the entire time, frankly, I was super nervous because I was like, this is announced now, but it's not done. And you never know what could happen. So
yeah, but I think, coming back to Meerkat, I think it's this amazing story of Product Hunt. Like, people don't seem to realize, I'd met this team in, they're from Israel, and I'd met them, well over a year, year and a half ago, and gotten to know them and just loved this idea of, like, video live streaming from your phone to somebody else's phone. Like, it can finally work. We finally might be ready for it. It's great. But we needed sort of the use case and the ignition to sort of really bring it out to the world. And, they had decided that product that he'd shown me before wasn't quite working. Mm-hmm. And so they went back to the drawing board and sort of said, okay, we got this great video infrastructure. What can we go build now? And they came up with a bunch of ideas, and they were like, look, maybe this one-to-many thing could be great. What if you could even just use Twitter to sort of like, hey, I'm broadcasting live, and anybody who sees that tweet, because a lot of people are looking at Twitter, could just tune it. Mm-hmm. They just had this idea, so they literally built it. They built the whole thing in like 8 weeks, and then he launches on Product Hunt. Like, I had heard from him that, like, we're going to go build some cool stuff, but I hadn't even heard the details of Meerkat, and it all happened that fast.
Oh, you didn't know before?
I didn't know. I knew they were going to do some stuff.
Yeah.
Then they went and did Meerkat. And then he launches on Product Hunt. And I think this is one of those very first cases where I think the combination of the product itself, Product Hunt, the Product Hunt community, Twitter, was like this amazing ignition that all of a sudden the world goes, oh, this live video thing, it's actually cool. Everyone started playing with it. I remember John was on it before I was. John was like, this thing's really cool. I just go live from my office. It's great. I have like 50 people watching me. Like in
you just found the sax man like 20 minutes ago.
How many people watch the sax man?
Only 20.
Only but 20.
50 people watched me eat a salad a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I may not be the target broadcaster.
your crowd may be like, John's not that interesting. But like John was talking about it. Bobby, who's on our team, like went out and did this like walk one evening where he was just like, oh, hey, I'm here. I'm broadcasting live. Why don't people come hang out with us? Hundreds of people on a Friday night late were watching. And all of a sudden, just because Product Hunt had ignited this thing and then through Twitter, we're like, whoa, live video may finally be ready. Ben, I spent more time with Ben. And we started talking about what it could really do. And we said, wow, like Ben's had a great vision for this all the time. He might now have the ignition to go do it. Mm-hmm. And then the only scary thing was, a lot of us knew that Twitter had this amazing opportunity with Periscope and really believed in the space and really believed that, it wasn't just something that was cool on top of Twitter. It was actually, they felt that Twitter, they should be part of Twitter. Mm-hmm. And, we just had to make a decision which said, look, I don't think Meerkat as it stands is going to be exactly the same company in 5 years, but we had to go make a venture bet on whether we thought we could go, help Ben build a really independent company. And, given all that, we decided to, and boom, like, live video, it's starting. Podcasting's now here. Yeah. Like, this live video craze, like, I'm pretty confident that a few years from now, it's going to be a natural thing in the same way that like tweeting is and Instagramming is and Snapchatting is. And can't wait to see where it goes. What do you think, John? You supported it.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited about it. It's one of those things where you see and you're like, oh, this is going to catch in some interesting ways really fast. I was having an argument with somebody on Twitter earlier who thinks that Twitter is going to take the whole video graph. And I think this is something different than Twitter. I think it's going to be, people who follow my tweets are not going to be that interested in my videos, and people who are interested in, Beyonce's videos are not going to be that interested in her tweets, So mm-hmm. I think that it's something new, and I think it's going to be kind of humanizing. Like, if I could meerkat right now, it would show me in this fantastic studio.
I know, it's beautiful, isn't it? Yeah.
Which is really a couch and a mic, and a big microphone.
On a chair.
On a chair.
In front of a whiteboard.
But on the podcast, it could be anywhere. It's like basically Hawaii.
How do you think... So I was recently chatting with someone actually earlier today about Snapchat, and, Evan, I don't know him, but he seems like them and their team are very, very strategic and thoughtful in their product, clearly. Live video has clearly been on their radar to some extent. Whether they actually do it or not, TBD, but probably they're going to do something in that area. So the thing that people haven't been talking about that seems, kind of the elephant in the room is, what's Snapchat going to do with live video? And does this kind of movement actually change their product direction? Or are they going to still stay the course, whatever it is? Do you have any ideas or thoughts?
Look, I think the impressive thing with Snapchat is they have stayed true to who they are and just built an incredible product. And I don't think they have gone out and looked at the world and goes, oh my God, someone else is doing something and we need to react to that. They've invented so many things on mobile. People say, oh, Snapchat's really hard to understand because they're like, oh, it's just like non-standard gestures or non-standard ways of working. But actually when somebody shows it to you, it's actually like more usable and easier to use and faster to use and just does these visceral things that nothing else does. I think Snapchat gets a lot of credit for the fact that the live video, times he's here, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. take a picture, it goes away. It's a much more authentic picture of life at that point than the perfectly curated pictures that used to get shared on Facebook or Twitter. I would not be surprised to see Snapchat, continue just to do massive innovations that none of us see. Nobody predicted Stories before it came out. Nobody predicted Discover before it came out. And I think, they've just continued to show, like, from your phone, tapping into the world and tapping into these real moments, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So F8's going on, second day today. And they made a lot of announcements. I think Messenger platform is the most interesting to me, but there's also the whole business for Messenger. I think they open source React and some other things. But what do you think about the Messenger stuff, the Messenger platform?
Yeah, I think it's good that they've enabled a whole bunch of different ways to communicate. We have a couple of companies we're involved in, maybe GifJam and some others that are easy for like doing quick reaction GIFs around, or GIF if you want. I never know. GIF, Jam. It's hard for me.
I go GIF.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Wait, wasn't there a whole thing? I thought it was GIF, or was GIF the one you're not supposed to
GIF
say?
GIF is the one that they originally said, and then, like, David
Can we make Carp, up a new word?
David Carp says GIF. Yeah. And David Carp seems like a guy who would know.
Okay, but let's go with him on the GIF sometime.
Anyway, GIF Jam. Anyway, but I think it's pretty neat to be able to send, like, these reaction GIFs around GIFs. around, it's like a little bit like our internal Slack. We send a lot of reaction shots around on Slack. Do you guys do that?
Yes.
Give me or whatever.
For a while, it was on PG-13 mode, which was fine. I thought,
because there's a lot of terrible GIFs.
Well, I thought it was fine until there were some bootylicious GIFs all of a sudden shared. I'm like, oh, this is not work appropriate. And so now we're on G mode.
Wow.
So if you do the GIF integration, go G mode. Just play it safe.
Yeah. It's a little surprising what it hands back to you.
Yeah.
But I think what's neat is Facebook Messenger is becoming a canvas in a whole new way. Like, we always used to think of Facebook Messenger as a sort of like redheaded stepchild to Facebook. And there was like Facebook, and you could do all these things, you could share all this content, push all this stuff. We kind of go to Messenger, and it felt like a poor man's WhatsApp, or like, like slightly better than iMessage because someone could use it on the desktop. You never really knew if they were there because it wasn't really on everybody's phones. And then they split it out. Remember when they split it out? Mm-hmm. Everybody was so angry.
Yeah.
They're like, no, put it back in the Facebook app. Yeah. Now NASA has like 600 million users just of Messenger, around the world and, mm-hmm. Pretty heavy here. And now it's going to be a platform itself. You can build this content stuff. They're going to do all this interesting stuff around e-commerce and business. Mm-hmm. It really sounds like they're kind of doing mobile native, deep platform integrations. And this content that you can share and have fun with is just the beginning. I was sending dub smashes back and forth all day this morning.
I think they're smart to enable lots of companies to try to innovate on top of what they're doing as opposed to try to go get do it on their own. Mm-hmm.
By the way, we saw, not to go on a tangent, we saw Dub Smash when they first made Dub Smash in Berlin. They just finished like building the first version.
Yeah.
They demoed it to Product Hunters. And then they launched a Product Hunt, and we've introduced them to like a bunch of investors. What a
93 billion downloads since then.
Not billion, but like this
is teasing. Did everyone in the world, but I almost doubted you. You're like, oh my god, it's a huge number. 93 billion. Wait a minute. They're doing very, very well, those guys.
No, what's actually amazing with Dub Smash is I have never seen people laugh and have as much fun with an app as I have with Dub Smash in ages. Mm-hmm. Like every time I see somebody go in and make one, they're laughing when they make it, and then they send it, and the person who receives it is laughing, and then the person who, then they do one back, and then the first person's laughing more. Like I think bringing joy into a product, like so much time we take ourselves so seriously, and we think about these, like, are these apps useful, and are they going to make money, and are they going to be a business?
Yeah.
And yet, like, an app that just brings joy, you know, and humor. You know, remember when the App Store launched and everybody at Apple goes, oh my god, we never predicted all these fart apps. But like, they were funny.
Yeah.
And they were incredible. Your phone could just do all these things that you just never thought were possible. And you know, even the Apple, they're like, you know, it's actually kind of funny.
Yeah. Well, even like Facebook stickers.
And I'm not saying that Dub Smash is anything like a fart app. Dub Smash is actually way more fun and much richer.
Yeah.
They even like, they launched Rihanna's new song. They had like a 24-hour exclusive. I got this push notification yesterday.
I didn't see
that. The Dub Smash had a 24-hour exclusive on like Rihanna's song, and you could like dub to like the beginning or end of it before the single actually dropped. Like, can you imagine that? They're actually launching the dub samples before the actual song on this app that Product Hunt saw in Berlin Journey. It's incredible.
Yeah.
You used to buy a single CD or order it from the mail or something. You know, you'd wait for it. Yeah, well, from the monetization aspect, it's interesting to see how do you make UGC monetizable in some way and also add value to the experience. And then it kind of gets back to what is, you know, Snapcash is fascinating, and what does something like Snapcash look like in Meerkat or Periscope? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was filming the jazz guy actually last week, who you were just filming today. He comes every Thursday at Mint Plaza, so you guys should go there and give him money. He's awesome. And I was filming it to 120 or 130 people on Meerkat. And I was like, how cool would it be if they could send currency to this person, like digitally some way? My $5 was like not nearly enough to like give him for the 130 people that were watching.
Yeah. It's going to revolutionize street performing.
Well, and talk about this, you know, Square just launched cash tags this week. Like,
those are
the beginning of like, make it really easy with your debit card, get a username. John, do you have your cash tag yet?
I don't have it yet.
Can you send mine to $ Josh Ellman?
Kind of what?
You just go to how do you do it?
It's through Twitter? Cash.me/your username.
Cash.me/ $Josh Ellman.
Yeah. I got in the
By the way, anybody who listens to this podcast.
No, it's mine is cash.me/ $R Hoover, of course. And I'm $14 richer as of that morning because I put it on Twitter and people just started sending me messages through it.
Bribing you?
Basically, yeah. Basically. What's cool is you can add a comment too. So it could be anything. And so some people were like, oh, product is cool. Another person's like, hey, I want my product on there or something.
Yeah.
Here's $2. And I'm like,
yeah. You know, but look, I think what we're seeing is like simplifying payment down to what can really become a tipping economy or a very easy micropayment economy or a way to settle bills. I mean, Venmo's been doing this for a while. You know, I think Snapcash, I think we're at the beginning of making this money transfer just much, much easier. It's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like everything's getting lower friction. Everything's getting simpler. And I think it's easier than it was on the web because like you just got it through texting a lot of times, through messaging. I'm kind of obsessed with messaging. There's UI across not just Messenger, but across everything. I think we're going to see it a lot of different places. And I think apps are going to do it too.
Well, you have the app on your phone already. I do. I've gotten a dollar.
Nice. It'll buy you a half a coffee. Maybe.
Yeah.
Not from Blue Bottle.
So you're on the board of Medium.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, you know, micropayments, and this has been tried a million times for journalism and blogging and tipping people basically. But have you seen anyone actually make it work in terms of online content, editorial content, when it comes to micropayments or tipping or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a company called YouNow that does back to the sort of live video space that's actually been doing just an incredible job with sort of tipping and micropayments. you know, and it's not pay for access, it's more like pay for giving. You know, ChangeTip, I think, has been trying to do this around Twitter and a bunch of other stuff, and I think it's really interesting what they've been trying to do with kind of making it easy to tip. Patreon, if you guys follow Patreon at all, and then there's a new one called Recurrency that came out of Jason Calcanis's Launch Incubator. Like, both of them are this idea that, like, I can sort of become a patron and just give you a little bit of money over time when you produce new videos or on a monthly basis. You know, I like John's blog post so much, I just want to pay you $2 a month to keep blogging, and I keep getting charged.
I think it's likely we're going to see emerging use cases that are surprising to us. So I think that, like a lot of our cultural change, is people driven by people in their teens and 20s. And I think that teens and 20s are going to think about cash and just ways of payments, just to hit a button and pay somebody. So I'd be a little surprised if it's all for editorial content and blogs and stuff like that as the dominant, like, breakaway use case. And I think it's kind of an older people's way to think about it. But I think we'll see some interesting things emerge.
Meerkat and cash.
Meerkat.
No, but going back to the joy part, it's just an amazing, you know, Meerkat is an amazing brand. It's an amazing story. You know, Ryan was one of the first ones to do it, and we got hundreds of people, and it was just so fun. And there's something about the live video experience that does that. And,
well, it's the most intimate, real kind of conversation you can have with people, also direct face-to-face conversation. Yeah. That's why we did an AMA, me and Andreas, a while ago, just for the community for 20 minutes, and we had 400 people watching us, asking us questions, like, just tons of questions. And we're going to do more of those. Like, I think I was considering we should have done it with the Chrome launch, the Chrome Extension launch. But yeah, we should do more of those. Yeah. Just like sharing.
It's an interesting thing. Like, Josh was talking about ephemeral messaging from Snapchat, and then the fact that there's a big difference between Periscope and Meerkat that makes me interesting to see through. Like, Periscope, by default, like, well, you'll be able to replay and watch the thing that they broadcast, and then a lot of people are frustrated with Meerkat because they'll see it on Twitter and, like, try to jump in and the thing will be over. I think probably because a lot of people are experimenting still, but it'll be interesting to see what it is. I mean, Ben from Meerkat is very thoughtful, because he'll tell you know, look, it's only live for right now, so we need to help people. There's no analog to live broadcasting in the same way that, like, for taking pictures, we all took pictures as kids with, you know, regular cameras. Yeah. And now there's an analog down our camera. There's no live broadcast to everyone you know analog, and so we got to figure out how to do that. And creating safe places, Ben's point of view is, like, creating safe places to do that is going to be the key. Periscope's got a different point of view. I think it's going to be interesting to watch how they both play out.
You've seen Catch, hashtag Catch?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. There's, like, a dozen Meerkat apps that have been created now.
Yeah.
You know, my friend, you know, Catch is this thing that lets you, you know, if you tag your Meerkat with Catch, it automatically records it. But I think, you know, Dave Morin says this really well, the devil's in the defaults. Like how you start is actually how people perceive you and how people do something. Snapchat was this incredible reaction to Facebook, where if you put it on Facebook, it was always there on your profile, and if you were tagged in it, it showed up in your mom's feed, like, immediately. Right? And so all of a sudden, like, you're drunk at a party and a friend posts you and tags you, and then your mom's like, Ryan, why were you drinking so much last night?
I'm 20.
Are you okay?
I'm an adult.
Right? You know, and so Snapchat's incredible reaction. They said, you know what? Let's just start a world where everything you take goes away. You send it, the person looks at it, it's gone. And when you just totally change that default, then everybody thinks about the product entirely differently. And at the beginning, a lot of investors looked at Snapchat, you know, before it really, like, started accruing all this usage, and were saying, man, there's no asset here. All the photos go away. There's no permanent profile. There's no way that you build this. And yet, if you looked at the behavior, they were like, I'm always going to do everything here because I trust it. And I'm starting from a point of trust instead of a point of fear. And, you know, and so I think that's just really important to think about. And, like, what your defaults are really matter. And maybe you will be slightly more scared for something that can be replayed 10 times than only if you want to. You know, I think hashtag Catch is a terrible UI to expect people to know how to do on Meerkat. But if the default is it's not saved unless you're like, no, I really want this.
Yeah.
That might change you in the moment versus that. Like, why do we still get on the phone with people versus recording it?
Yeah. Have you used the private feature in Periscope where you can broadcast to a select number of people?
I haven't yet. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Just came out this morning. I haven't had a chance.
Okay. I didn't know if you were in beta or not.
Yeah, you know, Ryan, we know that you were special. And now as the CEO of Product Hunt, you get to see all the fancy apps early. It's okay. A little humble.
It's a perk.
Did you try this thing in the dev build?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in the beta.
Wait,
I was in the dev build? Dub Smash beta.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can share a private video. I haven't used it. I don't know how often that's used because the default, to your point, is just broadcasting to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything really interesting you've seen lately that's, you know, that people aren't talking about? Everyone's talking about Periscope and Meerkat and all these other apps and Facebook's announcements, but anything that surprised you that's come up in the past month?
You know, for me, it's a little bit of a renaissance in desktop apps, which is kind of a funny thing. So I was talking about, you know, Fantastical 2 just came out. It was like, who needs another desktop calendar, right, after, you know, Sunrise got bought and mm-hmm. the company. And I just think it's nice, interesting that people are coming back to the desktop now with mobile sensibilities where it all syncs up all the time. And Slack, I think Slack really drove a lot of that. And mm-hmm. Quip as well, which we're investor a little bit. But I like that stuff. I think we're going to see tons of desktop stuff get reinvented as you know, laptops sort of shrink to nothingness like the new MacBooks are. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing, Eddie?
I've been in such the meerkat zone for the past little while. But I think the thing that people haven't been talking about as much from the Facebook announcements yesterday is Messenger for Business. And I think, you know, it's not a totally fun, sexy, joyful consumer story like some of the stuff we think about, but I think this idea that, like, we've reinvented so many different ways for us to talk to our friends. Like, you can snap them, you can Instagram, you can share this, you can share that. Like, we've completely reorganized communication from friend to friend because of these phones, because of these devices and the cameras that we have. And yet, I think we've done almost zero to reorganize how we communicate with all the businesses around us to do transactions and everything else. Phones are great communicators, and I feel like they don't do a good job helping us communicate with business at all. And it's still over email, over websites, over really clumsy things. So if you actually go back and can watch the Facebook keynote where they just start talking about Messenger and this moment where you add it to cart and you say, yeah, I want this company. It was like Everlane, I think, was the demo. They're like, I want Everlane to message me in Messenger. And you're like, oh, that sounds silly. And then you start to see the message where it's like, hey, Ryan, the thing, you know, just got shipped to you. And, like, you're used to getting messages in this way on your phone. And then what was killer in the demo is the guy replied and he said, can I get another one in black? Yeah. And they were like, sure, Ryan, we'll send it to you. It'll cost you $40. And you're like, that's cool. And then they automatically charge your credit card and ship it out to you. Yeah. Like, that's an incredible moment. And I think as people start to realize that, I mean, this is actually happening in China in WeChat mm-hmm. all the time. People already just use this kind of text messaging out there. But it's. I think that people are going to be, if I really look at all the Facebook stuff, I think that's going to be the thing that a year from now we'll be like, whoa, that came out of that yeah. event. And I think that's a trend we're going to see a lot of stuff doing.
Yeah, I think more broadly, messaging across a whole bunch of different vectors. You know, you said that one, but there's another, there's a bank, like a savings financial app called Digit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Where the only UI right now is texting with this bank bot. It's kind of an amazing thing. Luca just launched mm-hmm. at demo day this week, and it's about how you're texting with your friend to give you restaurant recommendations in San Francisco or New York. And I think texting is becoming a pretty common and quick way. You know, notwithstanding everybody complaining, we forget this now, but everybody's complaining about how you type on glass with your thumbs.
Yeah.
You know, 5 or 6 years ago when the iPhone came out, and now everybody thinks it's easier than interacting with, you know, learning another interface for DoorDash or another interface that's just texting. Mm-hmm. And the Magic actually showed that too. Like Magic.
Let's talk about YC demo. Yeah. What were your, you know, thoughts about that or impressions?
You both went?
Josh did, I didn't.
Okay. Yeah, but John, you've read all the write-ups and everything else. Look, I think going to this theme, I saw both Magic and Luca were both at YC demo day, and they're very much on this theme of like, start texting and having a conversation and the information comes back. And again, you know, it's kind of like this live video thing. Like, these are just behaviors that feel like they should work and should work at scale. And like, once you have them working right and you have that moment, you're like, oh, I never want to go back. You know, I think the other things that blew me away was, you know, there was a ton of really interesting companies in biotech and solving cancer and drug delivery. This is stuff that I really don't understand or have much exposure to. And I think the best investors like really live and breathe in the worlds that they are and they have experience in the past, because I think it's hard for me to be very helpful to a company trying to do drug delivery just because it's not something where I have experience. And so I think, but I was just fascinated to see, you know, to have, see Y Combinator branching out so that now entrepreneurs in those zones are going to be able to get the same kind of program and counsel and, you know, advice as you know, entrepreneurs and kind of the worlds we usually live in, like SaaS software and consumer apps.
And potentially and from a different perspective.
And they're going to get a little bit from a different perspective, but then they're going to be able to go find the great investors there and really get amplified. And, you know, I'm really impressed with the Y Combinator team and how they've been able to just expand it and to see people working on things that, you know, I'm sitting there going, I really hope this works. It sounds very important for the world. And if this person can create a great big business and solve these problems in the world, it would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, going back, I have to mention this because I thought I want to almost write a blog post about this. But Mihiel on the team, he was telling me this story about how he purchased a hat through Instagram, effectively. So he follows this brand on Instagram, and many brands post pictures of their new products. And they posted this picture of a hat, and it was like limited, exclusive, like only first 5,000 could buy it. And he saw it late, and he was like, in the comments, he said, dang it, I got it late, it's out of stock. And the guy or the brand messaged him a direct message on Instagram and said, sorry, dude, sorry I was out of stock, but here's some other ones that are like it. Any interest in those? And he's like, oh, not that one, but I kind of like this. And then they had a conversation back and forth. He was sending photos of the hat. And I don't know if you saw his hat, but he was wearing it today. And the guy sent him a mock-up of the hat that he wanted. It was like a custom hat. And he said, yes, I'll take that. And that's how he made a sale, basically.
Wow.
Through this like Instagram communication channel, which is really fascinating to me. And what's really cool is it's a human interaction is the most compelling aspect of it.
Yeah, I think people like to talk about these tiny supercomputers in our pocket, but I think they're more like phones than computers. I think mostly we like talking to people with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a messaging channel just about every app now. I think that mostly humans like connecting with other humans. I also think we're, like, entering this zone. Like, when I grew up, you know, I'm probably older than all you guys are. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and it was very much big box era. So, like, there'd be Best Buy, like, the Sears, and all these big stores you bought things from. And I think that we forgot that all these things were made by humans and with a point of view, and you can talk to humans. And so I think that right now, like the internet and all this mobile, is just Twitter and Facebook is smashing all the intervening steps between maker and consumer. So we're just getting a lot of real, authentic, like, let me just talk to the guy who made this thing or the woman who sang this song or whatever. And that's a pretty neat change.
That's obviously something we're trying to encourage. We don't allow company accounts or brands to speak on Product Hunt. It's got to be the person that actually made it.
That's actually a great part of the Product Hunt community is to see the founders and the bakers and the engineers in there. Like every time I don't just see even the CEO and the founder, but I see the product manager, even better, the engineer, the designer on a specific project. I'm like, that's how we know it's just made by people. Like we forget sometimes. You know, we look at the big companies and we look at the small company. We forget that there's no Borg that's just like spitting out ideas that everybody
must. Except Google.
Except for Google, maybe. but there's just a bunch of people and just have great ideas and want to try to build something great, want to talk about it and share it with people. Like, I'm getting a little bit tired sometimes of the negativity in our industry where, oh, like they're just bashing. Like, how did they raise that much money? Or that's a really dumb idea. Or, oh man, that company just wants to like destroy everything else, not even caring. Where, you know, the reality is like this is not a zero-sum game. We are all trying to make products in all Silicon Valley and like make the world better. And like Product Hunt is another great way. You're breaking down the barriers to let new products bubble up and be able to do it. And like when we just put our mindset on like what could we all do together? What can this be? Instead of I'm jealous of you or I'm like, he's clearly trying to take over the world or he's trying to squash the competition and stop making zero sum. I just think we're on such a better, healthy state.
Josh, this is a very Up With People edition of the podcast. Way to go us.
I think it's the perfect day for that. I mean, I think the example of Meerkat and Periscope, you know, everyone's so excited about both of them and they're talking to each other positively. And some people are trying to make it like the battle, but they're excited to collaborate and work together and it's all about, even just, we talked to Justin Kahn, who like, you know, 10 years ago was with Justin TV, and everyone's excited for the space.
Yeah, did you see the comment thread between Kayvon from Periscope and Ben from Meerkat?
No.
So I'll just read what Kayvon said. He's like, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly because I haven't met him yet. He's like, thanks, man. He's talking to Ben. Let's get together sometime. It's tempting to dog food and meet over Periscope. Meerscope. But they say we do it the old-fashioned way. Then Ben like replies, he's like, agreed, ping you now, we should grab breakfast. And you know, I've actually seen other conversations, you know, where people are like, F you, you're stealing our ideas, and, you know, it doesn't do good for them or anyone really.
I would say, I think the best of Silicon Valley is, or San Francisco, that's that ethos where you're all trying to do things together. I do think it's probably alienating to the rest of, like, the country. So I think that there's this very clear sign that everything's happening in Silicon Valley or whatever, and it's not happening here. And so we got to figure out how to make it accessible to more people. Otherwise, it will feel like we're accelerating away from.
How can we do that? I'm fascinated by that.
Well, I think things like Periscope and Meerkat are a good start. It's like just show people like this, like I said, the exotic product hunt local borders. And everybody can say, oh, that looks like an apartment loft that I live in Topeka. It's like very similar. Except, you know, maybe a little more expensive and not as nice. I'm just teasing. It's a very nice.
That's why you guys gave us money.
It's very nice. Anyway, so I just think we should think a little bit about, more about how to do that. I think things like podcasts and just like people talking about what they make. I think otherwise you forget like guys like Elon Musk and Peter Thiel are not like, you know, Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. It's a good segue. Your friend, you guys were friends with Jason Goldman, who's now in the White House.
Yeah.
And kind of resurgence of, you know, tech and politics. And what's your, you know, we're kind of in the bubble of tech, but what's kind of your take on what's happening? What's
going to happen? I worked for Jason at Twitter. You know, he was running product with Ed Williams when Ed Williams was CEO at Twitter. And Jason is incredible. He's one of the smartest people and just thinkers and everything else. He was like a national debate champion at Princeton. Like he's... you know, just really, really talented. And he also has just very high sort of EQ and thoughtfulness about a community and about, you know, he's a fierce protector of Twitter being open and Twitter being this platform for every voice to have a voice. And there were a lot of times where there were decisions where Twitter in the early days could have made decisions even that would have been probably more pragmatic at the time to, you know, shut something down or not let something be said. And Jason was one of the few people in the company who really just stood up and said the tweets must flow, and like, you know, everybody really needs to be able to stand for this. And so I think, you know, just this kind of great protector, sort of this open voice communication, and just a brilliant thinker. He understands technology, he understands how to build products. He was at Google for a long time building Blogger and stuff, and then with Twitter, like, it's rare to see somebody with that much experience getting to go into government and now getting to learn it on the other side. I'm sure he'll have a ton to learn about how government works. Might be able to blend those perspectives. And I think, John, you've had a lot of other experiences now with kind of this resurgence of people going to government.
Well, so I think we've come a long way. So if you go back 6 years to what the White House website looked like the last few days of the Bush administration, and it was nowhere. We didn't have video on the White House side. We didn't have petitions. And you look forward now, like, this has been a pretty good president for technology. Like, first president to appoint the chief technology officer of the United States. The first one was a guy named Anish Chopra. But it really started getting speed when a guy named Todd Park was named CTO a few years ago. And so Todd went off and built this, and he rebuilt healthcare.gov and that kind of stuff. And then he moved out to Silicon Valley to be a special assistant to the president, advisor to the president, and really try to get Silicon Valley more involved in the day-to-day government. And just in the last couple of months, they've hired Megan Smith from Google and DJ Patil from Late IQ as the first chief data scientist of the government. They've hired Jason Goldman from Twitter. They've hired Alex McGillivray, who was the GC, the general counsel of Twitter, and the guy who really stood up and said Twitter stands for free speech. And so there's just so many hitters and so many amazing people from technology who are deciding to go serve in our federal government, but not just federal government, also local government, state government. Jennifer Palka runs Code for America, and she was in the White House for a little while, where I'm involved. And you know, we have lots of people who just want to figure out how to apply technology to government. I think that's going to be a big trend. The number of amazing people they've roped into the White House in the last 8-9 months is astonishing. It's just going to keep getting faster.
And they seem really open to revealing and sharing more and figuring out how to, you know, live in the same world. You've seen, I mean, the White House has posted the State of the Union on Medium the night that it went out. The full text was on Medium. There's a great Instagram account you can follow for the White House and really start just, you know, trying to be where people are versus expecting everybody just to, like, hear from the government from old sources.
The White House got to launch something on Product Hunt.
They should. Well, I'll mention it to Todd. I'm seeing Todd.
Get Obama in an AMA.
Yeah, exactly.
He can talk about the product that he launched and helped design.
I would say one of the things that I think that they've been really good about connecting, making a conduit from Silicon Valley to the government. Net neutrality. You know, for the first time I talked to Chairman Wheeler of the FCC, I had no hope that we were going to get to the right place in net neutrality. Mm-hmm. Zero. And he really listened. He really solicited opinions. He heard from us and other people and changed. Yeah. You know, I think that's it's encouraging. It's not perfect yet, but it's good.
Yeah. I mean, technology used to be such a niche thing, take 20, 30 years ago, you know, and it's becoming ubiquitous and infiltrating in many different industries, including the government.
It is not niche now.
Yeah, certainly not. Cool. Thanks for coming on. This is, by the way, I think you're the second person to come on the podcast 2 times.
Yeah, I think this is your third time.
Third? Who's
no.
the
one? No, only second.
Only second?
Oh, it's only my second.
You're only second?
Steve. So the Meerkat was the first one?
Meerkat's the first time I ever showed
up. That was, yeah.
Okay.
Sarah Burr was our first...
double timer?
Yeah, double timer, if that's term reason.
yeah, like the Steve Martin of Product Hunt podcast. I know. He hosts Saturday Night Live like 8 times.
Really? Hey,
yeah, what are you next week? You want to do another one?
Keep going. Anytime, guys. I love being out with you. Anything.
Yeah. Well, anything you guys want to mention?
No. Got to get out and live broadcast video, whatever we do next, yeah. I guess.
Just your cash usernames?
Yeah. That name again.
Yeah. No, look, I think the last thing I'd say, because I know a lot of people listen to this are product hunt entrepreneur, you know, are entrepreneurs and really building out new products, and and you know, I'm really sensitive to the fact that, like, sometimes, you know, it's very easy to paint sort of investors as these people that are, like, hard to reach and hard to meet and hard to be out there, and I just really want to say, like, part of the reason we do this and love the product hunt community and pay attention is, you know, we're all trying to meet great people who are just on the journey of building something great, and keep making what you're making and being proud of it. And if there's a chance to meet and partner and do something awesome, you know, we're always eager to do that. And I think Ben from Meerkat is a great story where, you know, I met him for a year and, you know, he was working on something that I was personally excited about. I've been doing live video since 1997 when I worked at Real Networks. It's my very first engineering job ever, was on, like, a thing that encoded live video on a Windows computer and streamed it out. And so to meet, you know, a new entrepreneur doing the same thing, you know, watching him kind of go around for a year, launch on Product Hunt, kind of bring this thing to the world, and then get a chance to go partner with him to build a great big company. That's why I'm doing this, and that's why we're looking for. And you know,
and we also know when to let you guys go and get back to work building. So yeah, we can probably
go back.
Cool. Well, thanks
you guys. Awesome.